This episode is brought to you by BundleRabbit.com, Earth's most accessible book bundling marketplace. Welcome to The Everyday Novelist. My name is J. Daniel Sawyer, author of nearly 30 books, more than 30 short stories, and numerous articles and scripts and essays, coming to you from up in the crow's nest with my spyglass on this daily voyage through the dicey waters of business, craft, learning, and art in the writing life. Today we have feedback from Ed on the subject of stress testing your story ideas. He says,
I enjoyed the episode on stress testing, episode number 588, and had some feedback. One good way of stress testing a premise is to try to explain it to someone else. If you can't put it in words well, then the idea is still half-baked. Even better, if you pick the right person, they can point out flaws pretty quickly. My day job is systems engineering, which means I've got 25 years of answering the question, if we do X, what does that mean for everything else? That skill translates from engineering to fiction pretty easily, and along those lines, I thought I'd pass on some common stress test questions of mine. A. Where do the raw materials required for this premise come from? Particularly food. What's that dragon in the Lonely Mountain eating? Or those asteroid miners probing the depths of space? But this can also apply to metals, computer chips, whatever the magical source is, etc. If it's something cultural, where do the believers come from? B. What are the maintenance requirements? Everything breaks and falls apart over time, not just physical objects, but social structures, scientific principles, etc. Is the premise so new that maintenance is not yet required? If not, what's keeping it going? C. How long will it take to make this happen? Very little comes into being in an instant. D. Has something like this ever been tried before? There are a lot of historical analogs to things in modern-day premises. Is that jazzy new weapon the equivalent of bringing guns to fight the Aztecs or bringing machine guns into Belgium in World War I? Both had new war technology, but with massively different results. E. How could this premise be intentionally abused? The internet is for porn. Social media is for hate groups. Better medicines mean new drugs to abuse. Lots of new things help make slavery, rape, and murder easier. And my favorite. F. What could go wrong? Not just what's reasonable, but what are the black swans that would bring everything down?
I love the list of questions. We're actually going to post the questions in the show notes for this one, so they'll be easy to reference in writing for all of you guys. Now, I love these questions, and they're really good questions to ask when world building, and I am very deeply sympathetic to your approach. But in the interests of completeness, I have to point out that two of the greatest artists of the 20th century, not just great artists, but commercially successful great artists, would have taken this list and set fire to it. Those two artists are Stanley Kubrick and Alfred Hitchcock. When asked why he never gave interviews to discuss his movies, or why he rarely did, Stanley Kubrick said, I can't remember who it was to, Stanley Kubrick said, if I could tell you what the film was about, I wouldn't have had to make it. And Alfred Hitchcock just about drove Raymond Chandler to suicide with Strangers on a Train because Raymond Chandler, who was hired to do the script, kept pointing out that nothing about the script made sense if you sat there and thought about it for 3 minutes. And Alfred Hitchcock kept saying, it doesn't matter. The audience will accept it, and it will take them on a journey. Both of those approaches are hugely successful, and they do result in the kinds of art that lasts generations. And it's because the artists are paying attention less to the propositional nature of the story and more to the narrative nature of the story. Now, I really, really like hard sci-fi. I really care about historical accuracy. I really like verisimilitude that comes from properly constructing an alternative world, a story that has a complete, integral reality to it. But I also absolutely love Hitchcock and Kubrick. And the reason that I can have both of these opinions at the same time is that in taking the approaches that they did, Hitchcock and Kubrick constructed entirely integral realities. But they used a rationale that was not a propositional rationale. They used an emotional, narrative flow-driven, symbolic rationale. But because in each case, in all three of the different ways we're talking about working, in each case, the artist sticks to the rationale that he's picked, the result is a proper, good story that can survive the stresses of time. It will break down if you try to take Kubrick's approach and analyze it the way that you're trying to do in order to do it correctly. Won't work. And vice versa. But any of these three approaches will work extremely well. And they're all worth trying out and learning how to navigate, because some things you can't tell with a rational story, but you can tell with a well-constructed irrational story, or at least non-rational story. Thank you very much for sending the list in, Ed. I thought it was fantastic. And take a look at the show notes, all of you listening, if you want to get Ed's list and be able to use it as a crib sheet for yourself. I'll see you tomorrow.
The Everyday Novelist is written by J. Daniel Sawyer and presented by J. Daniel Sawyer and Kitty Nakian, and is produced by Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. The text is copyright 2019 J. Daniel Sawyer, and the production is copyright 2019 Artistic Whispers Productions, Incorporated. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license, and all other rights are reserved to their respective owners.